Game 7 of the 2004 NLCS as the Cardinals were able to advance against Houston and go to the World Series against Boston. Amazingly, it's been 20 years today since the Cardinals traded for outfielder Jim Edmonds, the Cardinal Hall of Famer, Fox Sports Midwest broadcaster. Joins us now on 101 ESPN in the Fast Lane with Chris Ronji and Brad Thompson. I'm Randy Carricker. Jimmy Baseball, happy anniversary. How you doing?
It's a good thing I was 12 years old when that happened. I would be really old if not.
Yeah. Did you have any idea? And I started thinking about this a couple of weeks ago because I was down there in spring training when the Cardinals made the deal for you. Do you know that date until now? Do you know the date that you got traded?
No, I don't. I hear about it every year, and it still surprises me, and it just brings back great memories. But it's funny, it's been that long already. And I know it's been that long because I think about it all the time. But then when someone says, like, it's an anniversary of 20 years, it kind of puts it in a totally different perspective.
Well, luckily, again, as you said, Jimmy, it happened when you were 12. So, you know, life is still good. Hey, I'm really interested leading up to that and kind of reliving that again, because we know that that offseason there were so many trade rumors with your name attached to it, and it almost seemed like, hey, it was going to happen. But is it correct that the GM there, I think it was Bill Stoneman, he told you that you were not going to get traded, that was done. Is that correct?
Yeah, he did. Actually, the day before or 2 days before that, and then when I got traded, I went into his office, and he said, no, I told you I wasn't going to trade you to New York. So that's when I kind of knew the business. Yeah, that's kind of when I knew the business was going to be the business. And when, you know, you grow up as a young kid in Orange County, and you're playing for the home team, and all of a sudden somebody like that tells you a story like that that you look up to and is your boss, you kind of think, okay, maybe the world isn't what they say it is, and I'm just going to go do my job and treat it as a job from now on. But thankfully, I got traded to St. Louis, and it kind of restored all the fun back in the game.
It's a beautiful thing, man. So when you did get traded to St. Louis, like, what did you know of St. Louis? What did you hear about playing in St. Louis?
You know as well as anybody, Brad, nothing. I mean, growing up in Orange County and not being a real impressive student, so to speak, I really didn't know much about St. Louis. And I grew up in the area or in the era that, you know, there wasn't a lot of Sports Center and there wasn't a lot of this and that. So I didn't get to see a lot of baseball games on TV other than the Braves and the Cubs. So, you know, not really a whole lot. I knew something about some of the players, but to be honest with you, coming up in the big leagues at an early age, I was just kind of happy to be there and kind of kept my head down and tried to just play and keep my name around and stay inside, you know, stay in the league. And then one day woke up 7 years later and was traded to the National League. So, I mean, crazy things happen for a reason, and couldn't be happier that it happened. And, you know, the rest is history. I'm sitting here in Frontenac today in my office and living life. So having a great time still being here in St. Louis.
Jim Edmonds became a St. Louis 20 years ago today, and I want you to tell people that story of Mark McGwire coming up to you when you first walked into the clubhouse in spring training down in Jupiter.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many crazy stories, but just seeing guys, you know, walking up to you and making you welcome and basically, like, put everything behind you, and they know what kind of stuff you went through as a young player, and everyone's been there. And just, I mean, between him and Eric Davis and Sean Dunston and all those guys were there, I was like, wow, this is impressive. Like, this is like a team. This is something to be a part of. And it was really, truly special. I think that was one of the best teams I've ever played on and off the field. So that was kind of when I knew I was here to stay.
And that was the welcome to baseball heaven, because that's the first time we were at baseball heaven.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Mark wasn't really big on words, and it was kind of a running joke that I didn't really even know what he was saying at the beginning. So, you know, Mark, everyone knows Mark, and his personality is pretty dry, but a great guy, and was just a great leader and a perfect person for me to kind of be blended in with early on here in St. Louis. And I followed his lead, and man, what a talent that he was, and what just a mentor he was too.
I mean, you already being a pretty good player at that point, a really good player, in fact, did you find yourself in awe of guys like that?
You know what? I knew him a little bit, and that's helped. You know, he's a Southern California boy. and I had a chance to be around him a little bit. And I thought I was, you know, I mean, obviously we know what he did a couple years prior to that. But I thought that I belonged, and I was going to just kind of follow him around and watch what he did and basically see how he could make me better. And that's what I tried to do. And in that aspect, I was in awe of him because he was never in his locker. He was always working. He was always doing something that was getting him better for that day or ready for that day. And I kind of took that approach a little bit, and I think it helped a lot. And definitely my year before I got here, being hurt and watching from the outside in, that definitely helped a lot too. And I don't know, just kind of the world's collided at the right time for me.
Jimmy, how well did you, or if all, did you, if at all, did you know Tony La Russa before you got traded?
Not really at all. I know we got in a fight with Oakland when I was in Anaheim.
Nice.
And
shocking.
I remember him and Mark were pretty fiery. And Tony was yelling and screaming at everyone, which I would expect. So, you know, and other than that, just kind of knowing him from a distance, and I didn't know anything like what I know now. And especially, and I keep going back to this, being a young player, you're kind of just surviving. And I mean that in a good way. But it takes a long time for you to kind of back away from the game and start to really learn. And I think that's what I say is the perfect collision course. Was at the time I got here, the age I was here, and the style of play and all of the stuff that comes with being here all happened at the right time for me. If it would have happened maybe a couple of years before that, I don't know if I'd have been prepared for it. And if it had happened a couple of years later, I might have been too late for it. So it was the perfect clash of timing and age. And I think, you know, I was getting healthy and ready to play again.
Jimmy, everybody that plays any game, I feel like most people are wired this way. If you do something, you want to win. You want to succeed. I feel like that when I played baseball, or if I'm playing something at home, I want to defeat my kids or my wife. Like, that's just kind of how I feel. But I don't know if anybody like felt that feeling as much as Tony La Russa. Like, seriously, like, you would ask him on a day-to-day, and you know this, you'd hear people do it all the time. Hey, Skip, how you doing? I'll tell you at 10 o'clock. Like, that dude, he wanted to win every single day more than anything on earth, didn't he?
Yeah, it was pretty annoying after a while. I'm like, the personality was so ruined by the sport of baseball. But you know what? And all kidding, it helped, I think, all of us mold us as baseball players and as professionals. I mean, yeah, it was kind of ridiculous after a while. You listen to him say the same stuff over and over. But at the beginning, no one believed it. But I think after a while, you start to realize that that's his MO. That's his deal. Like, that's how he lives every day. And whether he believes it or not, he makes you believe it. And so I think that's what makes his team so good, is they buy into that. And like, wow, he's really serious. So I want to go out there and win just like he does. And next thing you know, you're buying into it and you're getting after it every day and like a professional.
For somebody who was as good of a hitter as you are, I'm curious about this. I remember having a conversation with Paul Konerko once a long time ago when he had, I think he was hitting 400 or something through the middle of June, or it was into June, I know that. And he said, I don't even feel right, actually, but he's getting the results. You know, he's getting what he wanted. Did that ever happen for you, where you were getting results, but you just didn't feel like your approach or whatever at the plate was quite right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird game. It's like, I'm sure, you know, Brad can tell you, he can go out there without his best stuff and get out. And then when you feel really good, really strong, things don't work out so good for you. But it's weird. The game is weird like that. It'll humble you in that way, and it'll make you feel like you're blessed in that way, because you just never know what's going to happen. It doesn't always go on feel. And, I've been out there and kind of just taking some swings, and I thought to myself, wow, this is going to be a tough day. And next thing you know, you're 3-for-3, and, you know, things are great. You're the player of the game, and you got a home run. And so everyone's like, oh, you had a great day. How do you feel? I'm like, terrible. But that's just part of the game. I mean, that's what I think the whole thing behind La Russa, you know, is it's all mentality. And I learned at an early age from guys like Jim Abbott, Mark Lang, Finley, and Chili Davis, and guys were like, they would say, hey, if your name is in the lineup, the other team is afraid of you if you're one of those kind of players. So you just got to go out there and pretend like you feel good. And those kind of things changed my game a little bit too, as far as not complaining and not wanting to come out of the lineup and do all those things. And I think that stuff molded me a little bit also.
Yeah, you're hard-headed, which is a beautiful thing.
Well, I mean, I just learned that I wanted to play every day. You know, to be honest with you, in all selfishness, you really don't get paid unless you play every day. So I was going to go out there and do the best I could to play.
You were talking about, basically, I mean, that idea is mental toughness in general. I want to shift gears just a tiny bit right now, because we're dealing with the time right now, Jimmy. As you know, mental toughness is a big thing. People are stuck in their homes. They are quarantined, if you will. I want to know what this stay-at-home order looks like at the Edmonds household. I mean, what are you doing right now?
Well, I caught a lot of hell for going to Costco and social media because I spent $2,000 there. But what people didn't realize is I have a big family and I was out of town for a week. And so that was one of the things that I had to do right when I got home. And we loaded up and we really haven't left the house. I mean, I've gone to the grocery store a few times, but basically everyone's on lockdown pretty much. You know, little things here, grocery store, maybe Walgreens. Couple people under the weather a little bit, so trying to keep an eye on that, and really nothing. I mean, you know, I got a lot. We just moved in not too long ago, so I got a lot of stuff I still need to unpack and do things because it kind of each day goes by really fast, but just trying to stay out of the way. I like that what the nurses and the doctors have been saying, that they're here for, you know, they're working for us, so please stay home for them. I think that's important. I think we can follow. I think a lot of people took this really lightly, and I think it's starting to get serious, and hopefully people are starting to pay attention.
Jimmy, do people stay 6 feet away from you even when you go to Costco? You're a star.
They do now because I'm coughing a little bit while I'm walking around.
It's a good defense mechanism. A
couple more quick things.
I give a fake cough every now and then. It works pretty good.
A couple more quick things for Jimmy Baseball, Jim Edmonds with us. He was acquired 20 years ago today from the Angels, and then you signed in mid-May, and you were leading baseball in everything, hitting, OPS, slugging percentage. You'd hit a dozen home runs, and you could have made a boatload after that season. So what sold you on St. Louis in a month and a half?
You know, I screwed up. I should have went to free agency. No, you know what? I spoke to my agent a bunch, and he said if you like it and you're comfortable, you could always get hurt. You never know. Not every city is going to be like this. And just kind of, you know, take it one day at a time right now and see how you feel. And, you know, every day I played, I got more and more into it and fell more and more in love with the city and the ballpark and everyone else and my teammates. So I just said, you know, what the heck? I mean, it cost me probably a couple of $1 million a year for 5 or 6 years, mm-hmm. but I think it was worth it in the long run.
And finally, you mentioned the expectation of winning, the culture here. And it's my opinion, Jim, that you're a big part of that. The Cardinals only made the playoffs once in the 90s. That was Tony's first year here. You get here in 8 years, they go to the playoffs 6 times, 5 NLCSs, a couple of World Series. And I know that you know that. So how much pride do you take in being a part of starting that culture of winning and expectation here in St. Louis?
You know what? That's my favorite part. And my favorite part about going to spring training every year was knowing that we were legitimately there for a reason. And that was to get back to the playoffs. And it's really nice when you know you have a shot. It really is everything when you go into camp, knowing that you're getting ready to play opening day and really getting into the playoffs. And we were in Anaheim. You know, we went to spring training every year, trying to get ready for opening day and to see what happens. Well, it was a totally different mindset here. And that really drove me a little bit to be better, be more prepared. And then, like Brad said, the mental toughness of knowing that you got 6 months to grind it out and every day counted, made a big difference in day-to-day and how you played and how you took care of yourself. And I think it made me a better player.
Well, we're glad you're here, part of the community, part of the organization, and obviously as a Cardinal Hall of Famer, part of Cardinal lore. We appreciate you taking some time today.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Hopefully you guys are doing this all by remote, but if not, stay 6 feet apart from each other and good luck.
We've got that set up. Yeah, we will. We'll stay 6 feet apart. And heck,
just watch out for that Brad guy. He's the one you got to worry about.
No doubt.
I'll fake cough too. I like my social distance. Thanks, Jimmy.
See you, Jimmy. Right, take care. See you later. That is Jim Edmonds, Cardinal Hall of Famer, with us on 101 ESPN. And I think that his gifts, since, boy, you have to go back a long way. But here's my point. I think his physical baseball gifts were right there with Albert's. Albert had better overall numbers, but I don't know that I've seen a more gifted baseball player than Jim Edmonds.
We were talking about him earlier. Seriously, you watch him do things, and it always looks so easy that you from the outside, you didn't even think he worked at it, but he worked his tail off. Like, I don't know, he was a freak.
I was going to mention this because he'll remember this, but I would be at the ballpark early because I had to do sportscasts on the 2 to 6 show at KMOX. So I would get there at 12:30, 1 o'clock, and he would be out, you'd hear screaming out on the field in the cavernous, empty Busch Stadium. And I'd walk up the old umpire steps there, and there's Jimmy taking BP, yelling four-letter words because he was so mad at himself, and he's trying to get his swing back, and it'd be, and you'd hear it echoing throughout the ballpark. And he was the only one there. But he was working at it when things weren't going well. And then, like you said, he'd probably go three for three and say, I didn't feel very good.
Yeah. Well, how do you build yourself up? You have to tear yourself down.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
You know, that's a really important lesson, I think, when you're watching players, because you'll get this idea in your head just by what you see on television, whether or not a guy's actually working hard. I can guarantee, or whether or not they care. Because I think a lot of people put that on a player. Oh, he doesn't care. Look at him. He doesn't look at his body language. That will not tell you a damn thing sometimes, because there are some players who are just, they don't show it outwardly, but the work they do that you will never see is more than you could possibly imagine. So you can't ever look at a guy and say that he doesn't care.
No, and some players just make it look easy, even though it's really, right, really hard, and that's part of being gifted. He is one of those guys. Griffey was one of those guys. George Hendrick here, he's not a Hall of Famer, but George Hendrick made it look easy, and people thought he was lazy, but he just glided, and there weren't plays that didn't get made because of him. It's a Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Ronj, BT, and Randy, we've got an early edition of Would You Rather. So we need your text. We need you to be interactive here. Would You Rather with the Air Comfort Service text line 65780. Glad to be here and part of your day during these troubling times in America. And we're glad that you're part of our day here on 101 ESPN.